Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Books to Last podcast. This episode we are joined by Diana and Amanda from Get Into the Books podcast. It's a very different episode, very different list to what we usually have, but I'm really excited to share it with you. There's a lot of really excellent books on this list, and I found our whole sort of discussion just really fascinating and interesting, and I really hope you enjoy. Diana and Amanda, welcome to the Books to Last podcast. How are you guys both doing today?
Well, good, thank you. Thank you for having us. How are you?
I'm really good. Have you guys been up to much today?
Not really.
Not much.
Yeah. Not for me. I was just literally running a few errands. That's mainly it. What about you?
Not a lot. I think I tend to use Saturdays to just try and relax, but I was trying to get ahead of some, uni work today just to try and get prepared. apart from that, pretty chilled day. Are you guys reading anything interesting at the moment? Anything you're really enjoying or not?
So at the moment, we're actually reading a book for our podcast. So it's by these three girls that they actually have their own podcast as well. It's called Keep the Receipt. So yeah, that's what we're reading at the moment. We're done.
So we're looking to review that soon for our podcast. So keep a lookout for that. And in terms of our own books, are you reading anything?
No, not at the moment. Go on.
I was going to say, I'm reading a sequel from a book that I've read before, but I don't want to say too much because I might let out something else. So yeah, just a sequel from another book so far.
Yeah. Sounds intriguing. I'll definitely have to keep my eyes peeled for your upcoming reviews and stuff. Well, that's really great. I am reading multiple books at the moment, but I was doing quite well with them, but I haven't read for a couple of days because I've been busy. So hopefully I can get back into a few of them.
Oh, really? What books are you reading?
Oh, so I'm reading The Decameron, which is a sort of 1600s collection of stories set when the plague was circulating around Italy.
Oh, wow.
So I bought it last year because I basically heard about it, and it's about these 10 like young people who fled the city to the countryside to basically escape the plague. Felt kind of pertinent at the time. And then when I actually got it, and they pass the time by telling stories, but when I actually got it, I didn't really feel like I was ready to read it because it kind of felt like a bit too close to home.
Yeah.
So I didn't read it, but I've started reading it now, and then I've got a buddy sci-fi read, Skyward, with a friend of mine, and a middle grade novel that I've been meaning to get for ages, which is Sanhya Menon, who does just great romance. Not middle grade, it's YA. The other stuff is middle grade, I think.
How do you keep on reading so much books at a time?
I was literally going to ask that. Yes. How do you multitask?
So I don't usually, I usually never read multiple books because it's like the one surefire way to get myself into a reading slump. But I have been trying to read more audiobooks.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got paperback copies of The Decameron and Skyward, but I've also got the audiobook so I can listen to them when I'm walking the dog. Mm-hmm. And then the YA book, which I think I thought it was middle grade because before I started reading it, I did, and then I read it and there's quite a bit of swearing in it that made me think, oh, maybe it's probably not middle grade. So I've been trying to, I kind of read them at different times of the day because I find I don't really have The Decameron's interesting, but it's not an any time of the day kind of read.
I have so you have to actually sit down and be focused on it.
Because I think it's translated from the original Italian, and my audiobook version isn't the same as my paperback version, which it's fun because I can actually still keep track of where I am because of sort of key words, but for the most part, it's completely different. Yeah. And the stories are all weird. Like, they all seem to be about women having affairs, or men getting tricked about things, which is really just odd. There's a lot of, there's a lot of, considering they supposedly escaped the city to escape all of the sin, they really like trading stories about all the things that they're not supposed to do, which is kind of, most of them are quite funny though. The stories are quite amusing. They've got a theme for each of the days, so yeah, it's interesting. There's like a sort of moral to all of them as well, because they're all trying to sort of like parables and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I need to do a bit of research, because I think I want to know whether he actually invented all of these stories or whether they are existing stories that he collected.
It's probably a mixture of both.
It's an interesting one, but I'm trying to juggle them all, and I feel like I'm eventually going to slip into just reading one at a time until they're all gone.
I find it really, because someone actually told me in school, you know how in school that like, we were able to like study multiple subjects.
Yeah,
so just think about it, if you want to read multiple books, just think of it that way. That makes sense. But but I just find it difficult to like read more than one book at a time.
Or if I do read more than one, it would have to be like short, quick books.
I think the way I've tried to go about it is it's like distinctly different genres, so they don't get mixed up in my head, because I read a lot of fantasy usually, so I read a lot of sort of the same kind of genres, but if I tried to read a bunch of books in the same one, I'd get them mixed up, I think. So I've tried to go for very different, and then I've also got a mix of sort of audiobooks, physical books, and ebooks. So
which one do you prefer
of all of them?
It's quite difficult, because I used to prefer physical books like every time, but I've noticed for certain kinds of books I can read them easier in different formats. So non-fiction books, for instance, I find them much easier to digest through audiobook form, because they're kind of like a short mini series of podcasts. And a lot of the time the author narrates them, which I find really, really useful. Like, I listen to a lot of business books and productivity books and stuff, and they usually narrate them themselves, and it kind of adds a bit more to it. And fluffy romance or really light reads, I find them easier on the Kindle, because they just go really quickly, and I can take them if I'm going on a break for a bit. I can just take them and not have to take a stack of books. But yes, and big books I find easier on audiobooks as well, because if it's got like 1,000 pages, I immediately get really overwhelmed if I have to look at it in person.
Make sense.
Do you ever look at like the width of the book and just think, how am I gonna complete this in this specific time, because it can get so difficult?
I recently kind of like had a look at the longest books on my TBR through Goodreads, and I saw how long like Les Mis was, and it's on there, and I've got a copy of it, and I was like, I do need to read it, but I think I'm gonna have to go through an audiobook. So I looked at the audiobook, and one of them was like 35 hours of audio. And then there was a 6-hour BBC drama adaption of it, so I was like, I think I'm gonna go for the 6-hour BBC drama.
It makes sense. It definitely makes sense. I definitely need to get into like audiobooks more often. I just find it, I'm still used to like holding a book.
I think the downside for nonfiction in audio is I like to take notes and highlight. So when I hear something really good, I've got no way of like, if I'm especially if I'm walking the dog, I can't write it down.
Exactly.
So that's the
down point of that.
So I have to sort of come back to it. I try and get physical copies as well with my audiobook, so that I can do that. There's a really great one that I listen to audio, but I've got the hardback copy for sort of notes and stuff, called F Being Humble, The Art of Self-Promotion and that sort of thing. And that's a really, really good book. So I like having both. Stephanie Sword Williams, which is a really cool name. She has her own company called F Being Humble, which apparently causes some issues when she has to do business seminars. But she sort of specializes in self promotion for women, especially. I mean, like, it could, what she teaches could apply to anyone, but very much from the perspective of women who are kind of told by society not to promote themselves in the way that men are and that sort of thing. And she's all about sort of personal branding and that sort of thing. And all of her training sessions are named after R&B songs, which she
likes. Oh, that's interesting. It's different. That's really different.
Her entire brand is that she's basically doing all the things that aren't usually done in business and that sort of thing.
Okay, it's about being unique.
Yeah, her area is marketing and that sort of thing. So, yeah, she's very interesting. I follow her on Instagram. She's a good follow on Instagram.
No, that's good. Yeah,
definitely have to give her a follow.
Yeah, to check her out.
Also, her book's just, I've got it over there, but it's just like really, really pretty and hardback. Like, it's just a really nice non-fiction book.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, I mean, those are the books that we're sort of all sort of thinking about at the moment.
Yeah.
And we will be talking about a few more books that you guys really recommend, probably. Yeah. But for the benefit of any listeners who haven't listen to the podcast before, it's the podcast that challenges readers and book lovers to pick the 5 books that they can take with them when cast away to a mystery remote location.
Mm-hmm.
We don't condemn people to desert islands on the podcast because I hate sand, so
I was really gonna say that's where I would like to be.
We've had a lot of beaches and that sort of thing, and I completely respect people's decisions, but I am not going to force anyone onto a beach.
Okay.
I've just got this thing about sand. I had a grandma who lived near the seaside when I was younger, and sand would make it into socks, and then they would still be in the socks no matter how many times the socks had been washed 6 months later. And it used to just haunt me, so yeah. So yeah, you guys both get to pick. Hinted at it a little bit. You guys both get to pick your isolated location. You can be together or you can be in different locations. Ooh. Whereabouts would you be cast away?
Ooh. Well, can we say a country or anything? But you said you don't want any sand.
You guys, I don't have to be there. You guys can go where you want.
Okay.
we've had actual countries picked, and then we've also had completely fictional geographies that can't possibly exist, Vic. So anywhere you want to go.
Okay.
To me, it definitely has to be somewhere where it's peaceful.
Yeah.
That's where I
you can see yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, do you know what it is? Yeah, the location I'm thinking about is actually meant to be my honeymoon spot. However, I will take a few books there, to be honest. So I'm gonna pick the Bahamas. Somewhere in
Very nice.
Yeah, like, you know, them nice little villas to yourself. You know, when you just think of the theme in your head, you think, there, with a glass of wine and my books, I'll be happy.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
I think I might, I'll do the opposite of that. I think maybe somewhere like in the countryside.
Okay, different. Yeah.
I think, so,
We've had some range on picks. We've had everywhere from, like, say, mountains and forests and beaches and islands.
Not a forest. Scared.
No, but it's peaceful there.
A forest? Yeah. Do you know the bears live there?
I always find it really interesting because, obviously, like, we've spoken to, like, people from sort of Australia and America and all that sort of thing, and I feel like it's always heavily influenced about where they're from and where they live as well. Because, I mean, we had a lot of people, like a lot of British people and that sort of thing. And I just go, beaches just aren't the same here as they are in other countries. So I can't imagine anything.
And you know, London, the weather, like, you just want to go somewhere that's consistently nice. That nice
UK weather.
Yeah, the UK weather's not giving right now. Like, we barely have a spot.
And it's like, there's always stipulations, just like if it's some of the American guests, it's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to this part of the country, but there isn't going to be any, like, wildlife issues because, you know, it's all really dangerous. And it's like, no, we don't really have dangerous wildlife.
Yeah. Like Australia, they always have snakes coming out of
literally
the bathroom.
Spiders. Oh my God. It's a lot.
Yeah, very much that. I was speaking to two American guests that were talking about how, you know, when you move house and you unpack boxes, scorpions are actually a really common issue instead of, like, spiders.
Really? What, in Australia?
No, in America.
Scorpions? Oh my gosh, that's scary. That's so scary.
And they have, like, it's like the way we learn how to, like, capture spiders in a glass. They have to, like, learn how to deal with scorpions.
Because they're poisonous, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I think some of them...
Lucky.
Yeah,
I think some of them don't, like, they're not all lethal, but equally, I still don't want to be anywhere near them. Well, we have the countryside and we have the beach that you're both going to be cast away to. Yeah. So, yeah, without further ado, what was the first book you'll be picking? Whoever wishes to go first.
I'll go first. It doesn't matter what order I'm going, right? It's just say whatever book I want to take. So,
yeah,
any. I'll pick a book called Don't Settle for Safe by Sarah Jakes Roberts, because within that book, well, basically, Sarah Jakes Roberts, she's a preacher I love watching, and obviously I love watching her, so when I discovered that she had a book, I was like, oh, okay, let me give it a read, and I just thought, yeah, she just basically talks about how you should live your life being bold. And to be fair, if I'm away on a beach in an island, I want to take books that are going to make me feel good while I'm there. I don't want to think of anything. I just want to be at peace. Mm. So, you know, I feel like, because she talks about prayer a lot, it's a very important aspect in my life. So obviously, to brief it, she speaks about being bold and living in your purpose. And she just gives example about her life and the lessons and experiences she's learned within the book. And yes, yeah, just a very inspiring book. So yeah, I will take it with me. So what about you?
Probably give you a lot to think about on the beach as well, because it's a good place to reflect on that sort of thing.
Well, for me, the first book would be The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent. So the book, the reason why I would choose this book, because, well, at the time when I was reading the book, I found it really helpful, because it gives like a religion point of view of like situations in life. And I feel like even though it's called positive thinking, you would think that it's got to do more of like logical thinking, but like the book is consistently talking about like the Bible. So I'm a Christian, so it's something that I hold dearly to my heart. So yeah, the book, the author like focuses more on prayer and, you know, including God in everything that you do in every aspects in life. So yeah, that would definitely be like my number one book that I would take with me.
Interesting. They're both, I mean, both sort of similar but also not similar. Similar but not also not similar choices. Is sort of, I suppose, non-fiction, and I suppose I can't think of what the smart thinking and that sort of thing, and very personal books. Is that sort of theme for all of your list, out of curiosity? Because I know there's usually a
Mostly are
we'll say self-help books.
Yeah, they're self-help books, motivating books.
Yeah, but there's a few like other ones that I enjoy as well. So wait, should I say my second book then?
I was just wondering if there was it. I mean, why these, I suppose, these particular books stand out from other ones.
I guess it's to do with wanting to better myself.
Yeah,
I prefer reading books that would teach me something that I would learn from,
and it makes you look at things from a whole other perspective as well. Because I like the fact that when I read a book and I actually pause and I think, wow, like that was deep, and actually put it into practice in my own life as well. It's just the little things. And then when I see it having a positive impact in my life, I just think, oh, that book, it holds a special place in my heart because I actually followed up from it and I learned from it. And I feel like you could take a lot from reading, especially when it's to do with self-help books and especially when it's to do with bettering yourself. So,
yeah. Definitely. I feel like we have read quite a few self-help books.
Yeah.
I did say that we might have to switch it up a bit and start reading other genres as well.
I definitely agree. I mean, I enjoy the genre of self-help as well. And because I kind of read across genres from everything from that to sort of all through different fiction and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And sort of in the same way, I mean, fiction's a bit, I suppose it can stay with you and sort of teach you different perspectives it's a different way.
Yeah.
But I like self-help books and nonfiction that's, I suppose, actionable. Like, I don't, even though I find it interesting when I'm sort of left with, you know, a different thought and that sort of thing, I like ones that kind of, they have a sort of an immediate, well, not necessarily immediate, but they have like a long-term impact on the way I think and see things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think it is, yeah, they are books that sort of, even if you only ever read them once, they do sort of, they leave a mark in a way that I suppose other books don't always. Yeah. But yeah, both really, really like inspirational choices for the first picks. What books are joining them on your various locations?
So I've been smiling thinking about this book, to be honest, because I love this book. literally. So this book is called The Coldest Winter Ever. It's by an author called Sister Soldier. And I just want to say, I quickly found out of the book. Do you know what's so crazy? I used to work with a colleague, and I wanted like a new read. And I used to read a lot of urban books in school, and like a lot of books to do with like real life characters and things like that. So she was like, I think you would enjoy this. And it's basically about a girl, just to brief it, a girl who, she had a wealthy family, but her father was like a drug dealer type. Mm-hmm. And then everything goes downhill from there. And then I feel like he gets caught with something. I don't want to say too much, just in case people don't read it. I don't want to give out the whole book. But long story short, she had to find her way by herself. And it got really interesting. And you could just see everything like she had to go through by herself. Mm-hmm. And it was just really interesting to like read. And every time like I read that book, I could see it like, you know when you read a book and you just imagine it literally in your head, you even imagine what the character would look like when they describe the character. And everything about the book I loved, from the slang to even the explicit parts of the book, it just felt so real as much as it was fiction. I feel like it's such a good read, and I would recommend it to someone as well. So that would be the book that would definitely be joining me, because if they made a movie about it, I'm definitely watching it as well.
I mean, it sounds like the making of probably a really good Netflix original series.
Yeah. No, literally, they need to. I love it.
Well, either with Netflix, will have to get to it before I suppose Disney do, because they seem to be buying up like all the rights to all the options to everything. Yeah. But it's interesting. I always find, I mean, even I suppose fiction that feels like it could be non-fiction. I mean, is it, I'm assuming it's not based on a
true story,
or is it
no? But it's really good. I'm impressed. I love it. So that's the book I'll definitely be taking with me.
Very, very high praise. And what would be the second book on your list?
Mine is like everyone knows this book, The Alchemist.
Oh yeah, it's very popular.
Yeah, I mentioned it on our podcast, so that was like the first book, because I've not always been a reader. So apart from reading in school, I never used to go to the library and pick up a book and read. I would usually be like on the computer or like watching my favorite program.
Reading for school's enough to ruin it for anyone.
So I just recently picked up a habit of reading. So I would say 2015. Is when I decided, you know, to start reading. And that was the book that I picked up, The Alchemist. And that has literally been a life-changing book in my life. So I'm sure everyone knows the story. It's about the shepherd who leaves his land to go and pursue his dream. And the story is just very inspiring. The fact that he had like a ton of vision of like where he needed to go to the pyramid. And to me, it's something that I've implied into my life, like no matter what goes on, I still have to chase my dream. Yeah. And also to know that along the way of me pursuing my dream, there's going to be obstacles, which in the book, he had a lot of obstacles along the way. And eventually he did end up going and finding the pyramid. That would definitely be my second choice.
It's one of those books. Okay, so it's one of those books that I know I should have read, because I've got a million of them. Books I know I should have read, but I haven't had a chance to yet.
Okay.
It's one that I've seen listed on, I mean, every time you see one of those lists, 100 books you should read before you die, it's always
you, because I'm not going to get to you. I haven't read it myself, and there's like, you know, I'm going to get to it, but I don't know. I'm going to read it now, though. Like, I feel like it's due to be a next book I purchase as well, because I've heard so much good feedback about it. So you're not alone with that one.
Yeah. I've never heard it sold to me like that, I suppose, because the thing is, with the lists of like 100 books, they're kind of very much, they're all some of them seem very similar to each other in some, I suppose, content.
Yeah.
And it's not until you meet someone like yourself who's had a very sort of strong connection with the book that it kind of sets it apart from the rest of them, because it, you know, books mean different things to different people. But I'm never, I find it very hard to convince myself to read a book because I should, quote unquote.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's almost, sometimes it's enough of a reason, but a lot of the time it's not, because I just feel like life's too short and there's a lot of books out there that a lot of people sort of recommend and that sort of, but I've never had, I suppose, that perspective. And I think sort of the mantra of following your dreams no matter what and that single-minded focus on a goal is something I could definitely relate to, just because if you don't have an end goal in mind, it's really, really hard to motivate yourself to do anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, agree.
And then,
I mean, this is, I think it's the thing I love most about the podcast, is just because I get to talk about and introduce to books that I've either never heard of or maybe I have heard of. It's just the book, every list comes out completely different. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm excited. What are the third books that you're taking with you?
The third book I'm taking with me is called Manifest Now by Idil Ahmed. This book, how did I even get into it? Do you know, when I'm doing my own research with books, because I like a lot of self-help books, I just think what's different and what's new. But yeah, I came across this book, that Manifest Now, the title alone, I just thought, okay, what could this be about? But I remember getting this book, you know, the period where we had to quarantine, so no one was working. And I just thought, during that time, I just want to reflect on myself and just be productive as much as I can, just to keep my mental state at a good pace as well. Because it was a lot during that year and everyone experienced different things as well.
Yeah.
But I felt it was very important for me to have just like a peaceful mind at the time, considering I'm not working and there's a lot happening around me. Mm-hmm. So I purchased the book and I loved it. I felt like it's the book that it made me look at things on different perspectives. So she basically says, like, it basically focuses on your spiritual and mental and physical well-being. And what I liked about the book is that she talked about different things that can benefit you, and basically just how manifesting what you want can actually become your reality. And I believe that your tongue is very strong, like what you say, you can speak into existence. And even like her positive affirmation even helps me. So like, even if I'm about to go into work, I make sure I say something positive to start my day, just so that it keeps me going. So if I'm on a beach and, you know, I have like time to myself and I just want to relax, I feel like that's just a great way of soothing me out. And I feel
it
like
sounds like a book I, yeah, sounds like a book I definitely could have done with last year. I ended up working all the way through because I'm very fortunate, and I'm aware that I'm fortunate to have been able to sort of do my job from home.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because of everything that was going on and that sort of thing, and just the one thing after another kind of nature of last year,
yeah,
I found myself kind of just retreating to a place of, I was basically doing the bare minimum to keep going, essentially. Yeah. And I ended up not reading at all, which I was quite surprised at, because if somebody had asked me how I would have spent 10 months in lockdown, not being able to sort of leave the house, I would have been like, yeah, no, I definitely would have read. But it's like, it was really difficult.
Oh, wow. I felt like that was like, I wouldn't even say I was thinking about reading at the time, but because I had so much time, I was thinking, well, I don't have the time to read, let me just take advantage. And because I wanted a new book as well, I just thought, let me get this now. And it would just happen to be perfect, considering what we were going through as well. It was just a perfect read for me. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So that's a book taking with me.
I think thinking a positive thought or starting your day with positivity is a good thing that everyone should take into their life, just because, you know, every day's a new day. One of the reasons I absolutely love mornings, and I've always been a morning person and people think I'm strange, it's just I've always enjoyed mornings. I've never hated Mondays, and I don't really like January.
You're the first person
literally to say that.
It's because it's like January, morning time, Mondays, all of that, they're the start of a sort of new time period.
Yeah.
And my like prevailing positive thought is always, I haven't, like, nothing's gone wrong yet. Yeah. Like, something might go wrong between now and the end of this period, you know, now and the end of this year, now and the end of this week, now and the end of this day. Yeah. But here and now, it's full of possibilities. It could turn out to be the best day, week, year ever at the moment.
Yeah.
Same with the beginning of the month. And I just really like the fresh start. It's kind of like turning over onto a fresh page of a notebook, like, every single time. And I just try and think that when I sort of, if I'm on the train on the way into work or that sort of thing, it's just like, you know, it's a new start. It's this, whatever it is what I make of it now. And yeah, it's so much more motivating than, oh God, Monday again.
To be optimistic about this.
I like the fact that you said it in that perspective as well, because, you know, usually when people think of turning over a new leaf or anything, you just think maybe next month. But it's true, like, Monday is the start of the week. I like the way you worded it as well, by saying that you never know what's going to happen by the end of the day, but it's full of possibilities, like you said. So now that you said it, like, it made me look at it from another perspective. I was like, maybe
it, I was literally thinking about the drama. Was it a book or was it a movie? I Hate Mondays. Why I Hate Mondays.
Why I Hate Mondays. Maybe it's a book.
Was it a book? Maybe. It's a movie.
It sounds familiar, though.
No, was it not a true story? I think it was based on a true story.
Possibly. I think it's an interesting, like, people have a lot of, I suppose, people have their own personal reasons and negative connotations for the start of a new week and that sort of thing. But yeah, I've just, it's only in recent years that I've maybe come around to that sort of way of thinking. But yeah, when I get sort of anxious about things and that sort of thing, it's like, oh, you know, I've not messed up yet. This is a new start. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Even if the mistake is mine, it's not happened yet. So yeah, really great. I mean, so sorry, quick tangent, but what's the third book?
So the third book for me would be The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And that is by Robin Sharma. This book is another self-help book. I'm sorry, I'm just like constantly reading self-help books.
Really like that title. It's really intriguing.
Yeah, that's what, exactly, because you think a monk, Ferrari. How do the two even collaborate? So yeah, the book is about a successful lawyer. So he literally had everything, all the cars, a house, and he was just unhappy within himself. So he ended up selling all his, he transformed his life and by selling everything that he had in order to seek peace in his life, because even though he had everything, he still didn't find happiness within. So he ended up traveling and selling everything just to find peace. And yeah, so that would be my third book.
Yeah, I think that's I don't know anyone who hasn't had the fantasy of just sort of going, okay, I'm just gonna shun everything, get rid of everything, just have like a brand new start. I mean, it's definitely an appealing idea, but I'd be interested to follow like him on that journey, because especially if you, it's very easy, I suppose, to think of that when you maybe come from a disadvantaged sort of position, but when you've come from a position where you've got, I suppose, everything, it's really difficult to admit to yourself that you're still unhappy and actually give it all up, because that's a lot of security. I don't come from an affluent background, and the idea of purposely giving up that much
it just shows you how unhappy he must have been.
It would definitely be an interesting journey to follow and just see, I suppose, how he got there and then where he ended up in the end. That's and a really intriguing title. I like it, sort of really grabs
your attention.
Well, I mean, yeah, more inspirational talk. I feel like this is going to be just a really great list for anyone who wants to sort of broaden their mind and get some new perspectives on things. And it's unique in all the lists that we've had on the podcast, which is really great, because we don't tend to get a lot of nonfiction.
Really? Which I would have been more like popular, because nowadays a lot of people just read a lot of.
Yeah, definitely. I think part of it is probably my own biases, because even though I do like nonfiction, I don't talk about it a lot. So the people I meet on the internet usually tend to be operate more in the fiction genre, just because that tends to be where I sort of sit. I probably should talk more about the nonfiction books that I do read, because I do find that they actually leave me with like a lot of things to say and think about, but I find I don't, I just don't, and I probably should, but yeah. Fixing that now, remedying it. So, I mean, second to penultimate picks, second to last, the fourth books that you guys will be taking with you.
So my fourth book is called It's Time to Heal by Esther Jacobs. I'm just going to do a little promotion there because she's actually an author from London, upcoming author. I met her at a networking event. And to be fair, it wasn't even to do with her book. We just went to a networking event to do like business. And I met her there. So we just started talking. And then she's like, oh, I'm an author. I have a book. And she was telling me about her book. And it was really interesting to me because she wrote this book during a very hard period of her life. So I was very intrigued to see like what she'll talk about within the book. And it's so crazy how we just clicked when we met each other, because even like myself, like I said, like I believe in God, like to be, she happened to be a Christian as well. And she literally talks about things that were relatable as well. So even when I read her book and she mentioned like having a job at Peacocks, I'm thinking, this is in London, like this is close to home. So it's like I actually know what store she's talking about and things like that. But her book just basically talks about mainly herself and how her journey changed for her, and how she said how God helped her. And she also uses like biblical verses in her book, which is nice because obviously everyone reads the Bible differently. So when she wrote out like her favorite verses and why this stood out, she really explained and expressed how this had an impact in her life, or what she thought God was doing for her throughout her whole journey. And it was a very inspiring book to read because it was about her, and the fact that I know her personally now is amazing. And I also enjoyed the read as well because she gave it to me at a time where I just wasn't reading any books at the time. There was a gap where I wasn't reading any books. So the fact that I met her, she's like, hey, you can have it for free. She literally gave it to me. And I was just like, I really appreciate that. And reading her story was very touching. So I feel like I'll take it with me only because I felt like it was a beautiful read. And because of how we met and the structure of the book and how she picks out her Bible verses and relates to her life was very beautiful to me. So yeah, that's definitely a book I'm taking with me.
That's such a wonderful story. It just made me think that the closest that ever happening to me was I ended up having to go to a work event, and I mentioned that I was studying sort of surveying and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And a gentleman said, oh, have you read this textbook? Because he asked what my core textbook was for studies. Yeah. And I said, no, but it's on my list. And I sort of carried on. We did the event and got to know him a little bit more. And then I went away and I looked it up and I realized it was his textbook that he And I looked it up again because I was like, oh no, I have been meaning to get that one. And if he says it's good and he said, you know, consummate professional in the field, I'll have a look. Yeah. So I looked it up and I was like, did he recommend his own book to me, but then also not tell me that it was his own book?
Yeah.
Probably want an honest opinion about the book.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that I'm almost glad that I hadn't read it so that I did. Because I tend to have pretty strong either negative or positive reactions to textbooks because they're really good or they're really bad. There's no in between. So I'm probably glad that I hadn't read it at the time. But yeah, it's always great when you get to discuss, I suppose, when you can actually meet the author and really get to know the voice behind the book, especially as when it's such a personal story. And I find the fact that she was, so willing to share her personal interpretation and connection to sort of Bible verses, which I know is, it's a very intimate and personal thing about it to people, and quite, a brave thing to put out into the world, and also very generous that she's, gifting people with that kind of information, just because other people could, that somebody else could read that and really take something from it. So that's really really funny. Oh, it's such a wholesome, inspirational list of it. It's just really, really nice. So, yeah, what's your fourth and final pick?
Okay, so my fourth pick. So I would go, I know it might sound a bit cliche, but the Bible. Even though I haven't,
we've had it before, so
okay. I was a bit scared to say that. So, even though I haven't, I haven't actually completed the Bible, but I've read most of the stories. The Bible, I would say, it plays a big part in my life. I feel like it's a guide to life, how I will live my life as a Christian. From young, you know, my parents have had me reading the Bible. So I would think, yeah, the Bible would definitely be one of, like, my picks if I was to go anywhere. Yeah, because I feel like I would need it. I would need it in order for me to, how can I put this into words? I would need, for some reason, I would need the Bible in order for me to survive, because I feel like it teaches me a lot, and it's basically a book that I turn to whenever I'm going through troubles in life, whether I'm going through anything in life. It's something that before anyone, I'll turn to my Bible. So definitely would be like one of my picks where I would take to go to the countryside.
Definitely. I mean, like I say, it's been a choice from previous episodes as well. And it's like you say, it's when it's the first port of call, it's a book that you absolutely do need with you when you're, you know, alone, and need, I suppose, when you're alone, you've got limited choice of books. It's what you need to be with you. I want to say the majority of listeners are probably familiar with the Bible, so probably don't need to give a brief
more information on that.
But yeah, I do find I don't think I've ever actually met anyone who has read the Bible cover to cover. Like,
yeah, I don't think so too.
Regardless,
there's a lot to take in.
Absolutely,
a lot to take in from that.
Well, I'm sure there's probably someone that's actually read it from cover to cover, but they probably haven't taken everything in. If that makes sense,
it would take a while.
And I think it's not like a sequential. Like, you don't have. It's not a book that you have to read in order. I think it's. You go to different points and different
Absolutely.
References, don't you? Depending on what you read. So I think it would be maybe not the best way to consume it to take it from cover to cover in order.
That will.
You'd be surprised.
Possibly. I mean, that might work for thingy. I think, especially with it being, I suppose, short stories and passages and that sort of thing, it's probably sticks with you and has more. I don't know. Everyone consumes
things differently.
Consumes everything differently, and I, who knows? But yeah, I mean, we've reached our very final picks now for the lists. So yeah, what's the fifth and final choices on your list?
So last but not least for me, I will be taking The Power of Now by, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, please forgive me, but I think it's Eckhart Tolle. I'm so sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his name. But this book was recommended to me actually by an old colleague at work. This was literally when I was just saying, what books, like, would you read or would you recommend to me? So it was literally because I picked my own book. I wanted to get it from someone else's, point of view and their own picks. And he recommended The Power of Now. And they would say that the author is like a spiritual teacher, to say. But it mainly focused on, like, the spiritual side of things. And it really does make you, like, it really does change your thinking. And it's helped me look at things from a different perspective. It does talk a lot about time being considered, the title is called The Power of Now. So I was literally always curious to say, what does now mean, or what did they mean by now? So when I was reading it just basically showed me why time is valuable and how doing things in the instant moment can change your life, how you look at things in that moment, like even within the next 5 minutes, what you do is very important and it can be valuable and you can take in a lot. Just by being still and just thinking on a, like, spiritual level as well. So, yeah, when I read that book, I was really intrigued to see what would be said. And when I did read it, I enjoyed it because it also looked at things from another, like, how would I say, psychological perspective, I would say. And it was just, it was just a different and interesting read for me. So I actually quite enjoyed it because it's not a book that I would pick, but I am glad that it was recommended because I did enjoy it. So that is a book I'm definitely taking with me.
Yeah, I like it when a book recommendation sort of takes you by surprise because I find when you read something purely on somebody else's recommendation with absolutely no prior knowledge to it, it can go any sort of way, but it's always good when it sort of really takes you by surprise, because I find, because I'm quite honed into what my own reading taste is and what I'll enjoy. Yeah. Mm. It's not very often I pick up a book and I don't dislike it, but then that way I'm not often surprised by what I read and that sort of thing, because I kind of know what areas to operate in. So yeah, always good when a recommendation brings you back. Is it mainly sort of focused on time and honing that? I mean, it's self-help again, is it? Or is it sort
I'll
of...
Say, yeah, it is... I'll tell you, it's thinking as well, but like in terms of time, it does focus on time, but then it looks at other things, aspects such as like I don't know how, like even thinking about your future. For example, like, let's just say that it said, like, you know, everyone thinks about the future from here to there, but your future can also be considered now, because what you're gonna do to make up for the future that's coming. So it really made me sit and think. And even at the moment when I read it, it made me look at what I'm doing now at the time. And I just used to think, in 5 years' time, I expect to see myself in this place. But what am I going to do now?
In order to achieve that.
To achieve that, So even the way that it was worded, like, it just made me take in. I just literally soaked up as much information. And, you know, with me, when I read my books, I have my highlighter, I have my pen. I just start highlighting everything and anything that stood out to me. So... yeah, I was highlighting that book and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love to really get in there and annotate and that sort of thing with books. And then just hearing you sort of describe it in that way kind of just reminded me of a quote. I've recently downloaded sort of a batch of wallpapers for my desktop because I realised it was quite boring. And someone I follow on social media and who has a podcast had a bunch of them because they were all sort of motivational to try and encourage you to sort of, you know, be productive and carry on and that sort of thing. Yeah. And one of them was about your future isn't decided by what you do, is decided by what you do today, not what you do tomorrow. Yeah. So you sort of shaping it the whole way, which is kind of what that made me think of. But yeah, really another interesting and thought-provoking pick, mainly focusing on the future, which is, I think that's quite nice.
Yeah.
Transition, because obviously you started with books that were very much to do with like past experience and people's existing experience and that sort of thing, and then moved into sort of thinking about the current and then thinking about the future, which is, I don't know if that was intentional, but that's the path that you're a whole journey through all five books. So and then without further ado, pick the final choice.
So I've actually had to think about this quite a few times, but I'm going to go for my brother's book. It's called The Life I Live, Not The Life I Chose. And this book, it is a special book to me because he wrote it whilst he was in jail. And the book is about how the life that he lived is not the life that he chose to live, but unfortunately he had to live a certain life. And it just made me... So the book basically gets you to dig deep into like the life of black men in London, the life that they have to live in order to, you know, to
survive
basically. So the book, he wrote it whilst he was in jail, and he used to send me a bit of pieces to read, and I used to go through it, and it just made me think that, I don't even know what I'm saying, sorry. It's only because I had between two books to pick, but I just felt like I needed to go for that book. The book is a really good book. I would recommend it to like black men that are living in London. It's a really good book, you know. It will help them to, you know, avoid certain situations that, you know, they wouldn't have to go through certain situations by reading the book. It will help them avoid certain situations where they would not end up where my brother ended up, but now he's, you know, he's out and he's doing a lot better. He has a football club, and it just shows that this transition, it just shows that his journey from life from when he started, you know, from when he went to jail, and now that he's in a better position. So yeah, that would definitely be one of my picks as well.
Oh, how inspiring.
That's really amazing. I have so much respect for your brother, but also you for being able to read, I suppose, about that, because I imagine it wasn't very easy. And I mean, I, yeah, just because I've had I mean, my dad went to jail for a brief period, and I remember I was sort of not allowed to, because I was quite young, I wasn't allowed to sort of visit him or read some of the letters that he sort of sent back. And we didn't get a lot of correspondence because it was kind of deemed like it wasn't something that me and my younger brother should be exposed to. But in a very sort of different way, sort of very different circumstances. And that's been, but it's really amazing that you, I mean, that you can have this really personal story that you can sort of take with you and revisit to, that ultimately ends with him in
a better place, position.
And I would probably say, I mean, equally, I mean, Black Men in London, but probably anyone should read it, just to, I think it's really important to sort of get, just to hear other people's stories. And
because a lot of them probably don't have like a mentor or like someone that they can look up to, so I think the book would be definitely helpful to help them avoid all the trouble.
And plus it's a real life story as well.
It's based on a true story.
It's actually his story, so it's even brave of him to do that as well. And I feel like you know, where, like she said, he's got his own football club, people are starting to know who he is, so other young boys who could relate to his story could be inspired, and before even getting into everything he might have got himself into, they might think, you know what, I don't want to do that.
The reason why I would definitely take the book with me as well, because he also inspires me, so it's not just because it's my brother, he inspires me to do better. The reason why I've even started like a podcast, because, you know, I see my brother as a role model, so definitely something that
it's really amazing story. It's and really lovely that you could share it with us as well, because I mean, it's like you say, he's the position that he's in, where he's started a football club and that sort of thing, is it's amazing, because it's amazing, he's positioned himself almost in the perfect role to be a point of intervention in other people's lives and try and sort of share what he's learned and that sort of thing. So yeah, an amazing book to end the list on. Is just I can't get over it. Honestly, I didn't really know what to expect from, I never know what to expect from any list, so I'm always finding really interested in the journey they end up getting taken on, and it's just been really, really wonderful. You said you were torn between two books for this last choice.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of books for either of you that you nearly picked but didn't?
Oof. Oh, gosh. I feel like for me, the other book, do you know what? I'll tell you what book I would have took with me as well that I enjoyed. Well, if I could pick, you know, a sixth book. It's called The Weight by Megan Good and Devon Franklin, her husband. And the reason why I like that book is because obviously with Megan Good, I know her as an actress. A lot of people are familiar with her movies and things like that. So when she talked about her life, because it mainly focuses on like the weight being marriage or sex, or do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Literally the weight for anything. So when she talked about her story, I thought it was really beautiful. And she ended up marrying a pastor. Not to say I want to marry a pastor, because you know it's a lot, but just to see her transformation and her journey was beautiful, and it's to do with her real life. So I actually enjoyed that read. And she also gave tips about what she did that helped her. So in whichever way helped her benefit in order to get to where she is, and just about being patient with yourself and making sure it's primary love first, and then after you'll find someone that will love you back. So I just thought the aspect of the whole book was beautiful, and then we read it on his perspective and how we met her and how they both came across each other, and then they both just give their own personal tips to people reading the books. So that's another book I would have took with me if I could, if I had a six read, but I think it was beautiful.
So real life love story.
Yeah. Well, for me, most of the books are like self-help books anyways. I've read I'm a Badass. That's one of something that I would have picked as well. I would say one book though that I've read that's not like self-help is the biography of Nelson Mandela. I just didn't want to get into it because it's a lot of politics and you know, but yeah, that was it's a very touching book as well, and it's very inspiring at the same time.
Amazing. Well, like I say, incredibly inspirational, sort of wholesome, thought-provoking list that I think a lot of the listeners are going to get a lot of benefit from. So thank you so much for discussing your list.
I'll be allowed to ask you how many, that top five books? Or maybe just give us a one, top five books.
Or a book you
out that you're enjoying?
I have not. Okay, so I have not strictly done my list yet because I decided that once I got to a landmark sort of area in the podcast, I would eventually
be able to
list for the benefit.
Or do you have like a book you could recommend? That's not self-help book.
Especially for us.
Not really.
So one book that I absolutely love, it's probably my all-time favorite book ever, is The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, which is a colossal book. It is really, really long, but it is really, really interesting. And I just, it's an epic novel in every sense of the word. It's same author who wrote The Three Musketeers. But it is, it's generally considered a story of revenge because it's basically about this man who, he's a very poor man, he's a sailor, and he is framed, essentially. He is wrongfully convicted and sent to prison for crimes that he never committed. And because there are three men who basically, in some way or another, stand to benefit from him taking the blame for it. So he gets sent to prison. And then while he's in prison, he discovers that these three men who were responsible for essentially robbing him of his life. He was about to get married and, you know, move, and he was about to be promoted. And then it all got taken away from him, and he finds out who they are, and he goes through this whole journey while he's in prison of like improving himself. And when he escapes, which is not a spoiler because it happens right at the beginning, when he escapes, he seeks revenge on the three people who did it to him, but it does in a very elaborate scheme that has disguises and toys and hidden treasure.
Giving me Lupin vibes.
It's giving me, like a Netflix series.
Yeah. Like, the way you worded it is just that sounds like a movie. Like, because even for you, I thought you was gonna say when he did his time and came up, but when you said escape, I was thinking, oh, escape from prison. Like,
they've made a movie about it, but I've never watched it because I'm kind of concerned that I don't know how good it is, but I will eventually sort of watch it because it's quite a long movie. Not surprisingly, because it's a long book.
The book is long.
But I find the whole story is just really fascinating because he is sort of in a similar way, single-minded about his revenge and the way he seeks it and that sort of thing. But the people he meets along the way and that sort of thing, he isn't the same sort of ruthless person at the end of it as he is when he starts, because he was actually like a very good man. He never, you know, didn't have a problem with anyone until you know, his life was taken away from him. And then I find it very interesting because Alexandre Dumas himself is a very interesting character, interesting person from history. Not something I knew when I first read the book, but I found out sort of retrospectively that his father was, I think it was his father, it was the son of a French aristocrat nobleman and a freed slave, and he was his father rose really high in the French military. He was count, and he went through a lot of personal struggles, and there's a book written about him called The Black Count because he had sort of this extraordinary life where he defied all odds for his time period and just made something really sort of amazing of his life. And Alexandre Dumas is his son, and he in the same way faced a lot of discrimination, a lot of difficulties. And you can kind of see when you read his books, you can see where he's pulling threads of like his father's life and his own life and that sort of thing into it. And it's just, it kind of gave me a whole new appreciation of the story after the fact, because I had no idea anything about Alexandre Dumas before I started reading, before I heard about this book about his dad. So yeah, I just think it's a book that I recommend to it because it's like, all time favorite novel, definitely.
That's good. I'm actually going to do some research on that because even the way you talked about it, like I was really captured in it. I'm just, my head's just going, wow, what else is going to happen next? What's going to happen next? But the fact that there's a movie made about that as well, that I feel like
I'm gonna have to watch the movie.
Yeah, you have to watch the movie. But do you ever get scared when it comes to books where they miss out a lot from the book and they add it in the movie? Because I always think if they make a movie of it, it needs to, it's like Twilight. I never really read Twilight. I only watched all of it. But yeah, one of the girls that read in my school was like, oh, they missed out some beautiful key parts from the book and they didn't add it to the film. And I was so annoyed about that. So, yeah.
Yeah, Twilight's a funny... I've got some friends who are very thinky. I've read the Twilight books and I've watched them. Mm. They do miss quite a bit out. I would sort of say objectively the books are better.
Yeah.
But I don't think there is any on-screen adaptation that could really erase all of the problematic content in Twilight. Probably. But it is an interesting with classic books, I think. I mean, like The Three Musketeers, obviously his other book, has been made into a gazillion adaptions in sort of TV and film. Yeah. They've made that many different versions of it.
Yeah.
In the same way most classics have. I don't think I probably more contemporary reads, I think I have more of a I'm more hot on to sort of the screen adaptions because it feels like these books were written in a time when they knew they could become screen adaptions.
Yeah.
So everything they need is there. Whereas Alexandre Dumas was famous and prolific in plays and he moved into novels later in his career.
Yeah.
So I suppose he never really imagined anyone acting out his work. And I don't think you could possibly fit everything unless you did like a really long TV series. I think you could fully do justice everything that happens in it. And I also think that probably only diehard fans like myself and other people would probably be interested in watching in that many detail. So I'd be interested to see it, but I kind of treat film adaptions as completely separate
to
everything else because I think they have the ability to ruin good books if you let them. So it's better to just treat them as two separate things, but inspired by.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that would be my recommendation. I've never been asked that before, just because it's always nice to think about. But yeah,
because I can see your background. Yeah, you've got quite a lot of books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. A lot of them I haven't read because I need to get around to them and I'm trying to be more discerning about that. So when I've read a book, I kind of sort of look at it and I have a think about it. And if I don't think I'm going to reread it again, I gift or donate it to someone.
Okay.
So that they, even if I really enjoy it, if I just know I'm not going to read it again, I'm trying to bring this pile down a little bit. It takes up a lot of space. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. It's been so interesting.
Thank you for having us.
If listeners wanted to check you guys out and hear you talk more about books and other things and anything you might be interested in, where might they find you?
So we have a podcast called Get Into the Books. You can access this through the Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where we try to release our podcast every 3 weeks. And we just recommend books that by like upcoming authors or recommend the books that are popular or any book that we haven't read that we feel like would be different. So check us out on our podcast.
And you could also follow us on Instagram on Get Into the Books.
Awesome. I definitely recommend listeners go and check you out in those places just because I have myself and I think you're both awesome. So I definitely recommend everyone go and try to. As always, you can find us at Books Last Pod on Twitter and Instagram and anywhere podcasts are found, which I'm assuming they must know because they are listening to the podcast, hopefully. listeners, thank you for listening. Diana and Amanda, I am really honoured and glad that you gave me your time this evening.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. We enjoyed speaking to you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Until next time, bye for now.
Bye. See you later.
See ya.